And now, with that understanding in our mind, a marriage, when you come and you make those vows, God expects you to keep it. Okay? Now, I just want to make a few mentions of a couple of things here so we can get to this next, to the third point, which is the final point. But let's talk about, just for a few minutes, about the value of a marriage. Okay? We looked at the vows. But let's talk about the value of a marriage. What is a marriage? What is a marriage good for? Well, for one thing, it's a sanctifying kind of thing. All right? Two people get married and they're lost as a goose in a hailstorm. One of them gets saved. That sanctifies their house before God. That makes it possible, because of that saved spouse, for God to act on behalf of that saved individual in the house. Because until then, that whole family was an enemy of God. But once that person gets saved in that house, God now can act on their behalf, because this is His child. And it sanctifies the husband, if it's a saved wife and a lost husband, it sanctifies the husband to God. It makes him an object of God's direct attention.
Amen.
All right? Because God's will is that he gets saved too. And God's going to work on that booger as long as the woman will do what's right.
Amen.
God will work on that woman as long as the saved man will do what's right.
Right.
As long as you put yourself in a position where God can act on your behalf. If you try to take matters into your own hands, God will not do anything.
Amen.
But the marriage sanctifies that, and all of that, but it says that otherwise your children would be unclean. But now are they holy?
Amen.
Because you're saved. And you're married to this person. But now your children are holy. Talking about those that are under the age of accountability. They're holy. They're not gonna. They're covered. They're taken care of. All right. We have to understand that. That's how important it is that you be saved. And when you enter that relationship, because the Bible says that I'm gonna get ahead of myself if I go there. We'll hit that in a minute. All right. So it's a sanctifying thing. It's also, marriage is an honorable thing. That's another valuable thing about marriage, is it's honorable. The Bible says that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. All right, in other words, it makes the fulfillment of your natural desires, a man for a woman, it makes it honorable.
Right.
It makes it something good and clean and pure and holy. Because when it's outside of a marriage, it is not honorable, it is not good, it is not clean, it is not pure, it is not holy. That's why the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that it is good for a man not to touch a woman.
Right.
It's not talking about a husband and a wife. That'd be silly. Talk about all you that are not husbands or wives to anybody. Don't touch anybody. Keep your hands to yourself.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. I know, it's just so romantic, holding hands with your boyfriend. Forget that nonsense. God says keep your hands to yourself until you're married.
Amen.
Ladies, a guy doesn't have any respect for you if he cannot keep his hands to himself until you're married. It's not right. He doesn't have a right attitude. He needs to have his attitude straightened out. You're the one to do it.
Amen.
You don't belong to him.
That's right. Amen.
And he don't belong to you. He's not yours to do with as you please. Now that I'm married, my wife, I belong to my wife. The Bible says she owns me. And I own her. That's the way it is. So I have a right, and she has a right. We have a right one to another. But those of you who are not married do not have that kind of a right.
Right. Amen.
You do not have a right to do with your bodies whatever you please, because if you're saved, they belong to God. And even if you're not saved, your bodies belong to your parents.
Amen.
Until they give you to somebody else. And then you belong to that person. It makes those things honorable. That's another value of marriage. It upholds a high moral standard and makes things honorable. But also is a picture of that relationship between Christ and the church. That's why the wife is, the Bible says, to submit herself to her husband as the church does to Christ.
That's right.
How is the church supposed to submit itself to Christ? In all things, being obedient.
That's right. Amen.
How's a wife supposed to submit herself to her husband? In all things being obedient.
Amen.
Now, I love the Lord, and I try to submit myself to Him. But you know, sometimes He tells me things, and I go and say, God, are you sure? God, did you really mean that? Gee, Lord, I really don't know. I'm not trying to be disobedient, but I just don't understand. You know, it's all right for me to ask God questions to help me understand. But when it finally comes down to the final analysis, I have to do what He says. And ladies, it's all right. You know, your husband does something. Are you sure you want to do that? It's all right for you to put your two cents in.
Amen.
Now, you can't cover the ears, brother. You got to apply to everybody. It's all right for you to put your two cents in. But ladies, God is going to hold that man accountable for everything that happens in that home. And that's why He has to have the final say. Because He's accountable.
Amen.
Just like the pastor in the church. You know, God's going to hold our pastor accountable for everything that happens in our church. And we can all try to pitch in and help him out. But as long as he's not violating the scripture, he should be able to say, this is what we need to do. And everybody should say, okay, well, we'll do it. And if it doesn't work out, then God can say, they told you so. All right, that's the way those things work. So we talk about the value of a marriage just for a few minutes, because I want to get down to the last thing, and that's the violation of the marriage, because we're running sort of out of time.